You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira.
WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. This is your host and speaker, Paul Esposito. I thank you for joining me here today, friends. God bless you. Thank you for taking 15 minutes of your day to join me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. We're about to start Revelation chapter 3. Let me just let everyone know who I am, what this program is. This is WGOD. This is what I've called this program because I love the idea, the fact that God is always broadcasting, and that is in His Word. And my question to you is, are you tuned into His frequency? If you want to hear a word from God, you need to tune into God's frequency. You need to go where He is speaking, and that's what we do in this program, is WGOD Radio. I've called this All Truth, All the Time. That's my slogan, All Truth, All the Time, because when you're in the Word of God and when you let God do the speaking, you'll always hear truth all the time, all day long, and that's what we're doing today. We're about to get in Chapter 3. It's Saturday morning when I'm recording this. This is August the 30th. August 30th here is Saturday morning, and I just read the news report hardly 5 minutes ago that the band, that group of harebrained Muslims, ISIS, was on their way. They said they're on their way to Jerusalem, and they're on their way to help the poor Palestinians. And I saw that, and, you know, it just almost makes me chuckle. And I say, you know, well, you guys don't know what you're getting into if you try to do that. And I think of the old Clint Eastwood saying, you remember what that one was? It was, go ahead, make my day. Boy, talk about catastrophic mistakes would be to go and try to attack Jerusalem and watch what happens to you. You know, here in the U.S., you can attack this country and probably not much will happen to you, at least by the people that are in charge of this country. But you go ahead and try to cross the Texas border and watch what happens to you. It'll be another big mistake. But even bigger than that is that the rulers and the authorities over Jerusalem never slumbers nor sleeps. So go ahead, make my day. Watch what happens to your forehead when you try to enter into Jerusalem and into Israel, because they've got someone that watches out over them. His name is Almighty God. That'll be the biggest mistake you've ever made trying to cross into Jerusalem, trying to cross into Israel, thinking you're going to take out the Jews. Go ahead, make my day. Watch what happens to you. We won't need a war because God watches out over Jerusalem, because God's got a plan for Jerusalem. That is the focal point in time and history, is Jerusalem. You know, I'm starting a sermon series next week. Next Sunday, I invite you to come out to Island next Sunday morning at 10:30. We're at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. If you live around here, if you go to another church, never fear. I'm going to upload the podcast every week here. The sermon is, what'll be the sign of your coming and the end of the world? Interesting topic. I've preached it before. I'm going to preach it again, and I think a lot of it's going to be a lot different. New, all fresh, new things, which we see all around us today. We're going to look at that in light of the word of God and Jesus' teaching, when they asked him, what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Interesting. Remember, his number one answer to all that was, take heed that no man deceives you. Everything revolves around that, being deceived. So many people are deceived today. When you get up and say this Muslim group, ISIS, don't call them evil. That's a little too harsh. We should use that word very carefully. If you believe that, friend, you are deceived. There's lots of deception going on. That's going to be the first week. That might take 2 weeks to get past that one verse there. See that you were not deceived. That's going to be the series. It's probably going to run through the rest of the year. It's high time to have the Lord open our eyes to the truth of everything going on around us. Now, while we're in the truth, let's look at the book of truth, Revelation chapter 3. We're looking today at the church in Sardis. Now, to the messenger of the church in Sardis, write, these things says he that has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you live, but you are dead. Now, talk about being deceived. See, well, first off, here's my definition of deceived. This is the Esposito definition of deceived. Many of you know it. It's to think that something is something, while something is actually something else. You see, this church thought that they were right, when in essence, they weren't right. You've got a name that you live. Ever find any churches like that in your neighborhood or that you know of? They got a name. In other words, they got a good rep. They got a great rep that they are alive. Why? Maybe because how much money they have. Maybe because of the great youth program. Maybe because they have a bowling alley. I just saw the other day on the news a church that spent $26 million building this great big conglomerate there on the property. Bowling alleys, discos, that since they say they won't have alcohol or smoking there, that it's all right. And they have all these things. They spent $26 million of tithes and offerings from the church to build this great big facility, and they think that there's nothing wrong with that. This is what Jesus means. He says, you have a name that you live. You know, this is First Church of Schenectady over here. They got a name that they live. Look at the size of the bowling alley on this church, man. You know they got to be doing it right. While this poor church over here preaching the word of God every week has got 20 people in it and they're starving and can't pay their electric bill, while First Church of Schenectady over here has a giant bowling alley and a $26 million facility. See, they got a name that they live by how many things they're doing, how much money they have, and all of these great things that they've bought. While other churches over here suffer. Have you ever met a church that's doing it right that's suffering? I've seen many, many in my day of churches that do it right and are suffering. And the Lord says the time will come. Actually, the Lord has shown me sometimes in some of my prayers over. You see, that's because I was deceived into thinking that a church has to have a lot of people in it to be doing it right. And the Lord showed me the time will come that people will not endure sound doctrine, but heap up for themselves teachers tickling the ears. The Lord has shown me that time is already here. That's no longer a future prophecy. This is why a lot of small churches and churches that are doing it right sometimes suffer. And yet the Lord has a great word for them too, and that is, you think that you are poor, but you don't realize that you're rich. So what are you doing for Jesus Christ? Are you faithful to the word of God? Are you faithful to the word? Don't accept sin. You know, I was just reading a devotional today from Adrian Rogers, and he was talking about the rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10, verse 17. The man came running up to Jesus and said, good teacher, what must I do to have eternal life or inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, you know, he went through some of the first commandments. Do not defraud, honor your mother and father, and all these other things that he said. Then he said to him, I've done all these things. What do I lack? Then it says Jesus looked at him, and he loved him and said, one thing you lack, go sell everything that you have and give it to the poor, and then come and follow me. And then it says that he was very sorrowful, and he went away grieved. Notice when he went away, notice that Jesus didn't go after him. You know, we read about him going after people. We read his stories about leaving the 99 to go after the one, how the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. He let the man go and didn't go after him. And Adrian Rogers' response to that was this. He says that Jesus never lowers his standards for anyone. And that spoke volumes to me. He never lowers his standards for anyone. You see that in the news all the time today, right? Church is lowering their standards. You know, we see today that gay marriage and homosexuality is in everywhere today, and churches all over lowering their standards. I read of this farm that's going to be stopping to do in their weddings because they got fined $13,000 by the state and forced to go to remedial training to train people to accept these kind of things as norm. You see, but Jesus doesn't accept these things as norm. He refused to go after this man because he doesn't lower his standards. Neither should you and I lower our standards as well. So again, this church here, they have a reputation. You see, they've got a name that they live, but in fact, they're dead. They're dead perhaps because they've lowered their standards. So again, I want to say again in this last minute, maybe you're a member of a small church. Maybe you're the pastor of a small church. Maybe you can relate to what I'm talking about. You see, a faithful church is one that is true to the Word of God and one that continues the true ministry of the Lord, which is what? Visiting widows and orphans, being a blessing to the community, helping the body of Christ. Not to say those big churches don't do that. I'm not saying that. I'm saying this, that worldliness will destroy a church. He says, come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. Don't lower your standards and be worldly to get people in the door. When people come to your church, they don't expect your church to be worldly. They expect something different than everything and everyone else. Otherwise, I might as well have just stayed at home. They expect something different. Do not love the world, nor the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, all comes from the evil one. James says, you adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that the friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever makes himself a friend of the world is the enemy of God. It says in James 4:4, not only does he call you an enemy of God, but he says calls you an adulterer and an adulteress, spiritual prostitution against the Lord by partnering with this world, to buddy up with this world. When he says, come out from among them, this is what the word church means. Call out ones means you're going the other way. The other way that the world is going, not the same way, but the other way. We're out of time. We'll pick it up right here in our next study here in Revelation and the dead church, the church at Sardis. Until next time, I pray God's very best for all of you.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web at WGODontheair.net. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for...